This is Peggy Baker at the home of Eileen Chamberlain in Athabasca on October the 20th, 2018. Okay, so Eileen, would you like to start off by telling us where you were born and tell us about your parents?
Okay, I was born in the old Royal Alec Hospital in Edmonton. And in 1930, September the 29th, and I remember hearing later that it was a foggy night on that day, and a friend of the family was coming to get my mom to take her over to the hospital, which would be about 3 miles away, which isn't very far. And it was foggy as can be, and so mom supposedly said, "Bob, do you think you can go any faster?" And he said, "No, dear, if we want to get there safely with this baby, I'm not going to go any faster." And so mother thought he was dilly-dallying around, but it was very foggy. And I was born just before midnight on the 29th and turned out just fine. And I'm sure my mother was in the hospital for 10 days in those days. And then came home, and I had a brother that was 4 years older than I was. And we lived south of Calder School in Edmonton. And my dad worked for the railway, and my mother had been a nurse. And she didn't nurse after she got married. They didn't do that in those days. And anyhow, I was brought up in that district and really enjoyed it. And what else?
What? Where did your mother get her nurse's training?
In London, England.
Oh.
Yeah, St. Bartholomew's in East London.
Oh.
In Britain. And my dad was an attendant at the mental hospital in Ponoka. And they met there. My mother had decided that she was going to come and marry some fellow that had moved to Montreal, who she knew. And his sister said to them, "I don't think you should be getting married. You're not suited for each other." And so they said, "You know, we think you're right." And so they didn't get married. So she just came to Montreal, and then next thing, they're advertising for nurses at Ponoka, and she went there. And I remember Mom saying that when Hugh Barker gets back, he was with a patient on a holiday for about 3-4 months to see how he could manage to get along on his own and out in the world. And so when he came back, they said, "Oh, well, Slim," they often called him Slim, "will take you out." And sure enough, Dad wasn't over too long before Dad arrived at the nurse's home and wanted to speak to the new nurse. And so they dated for almost 2 years, I think, and eventually got married. And
so that would be in the mid-20s?
Yeah, about 20, let's see. Yes, it would be. Early 20s, yeah, and so that worked out fine. And what else?
So then your dad was an attendant at Ponoka, and then he got on at the railway.
At the railway, he had three brothers that worked for the NAR that went up to Peace River and McMurray, and so he was able to get on there as a machinist, and that's what he was for years, a machinist for the NAR railway off the St. Albert Trail. And so that was fine, but Mom didn't nurse after she got married. They didn't do that in those days. And so she was a stay-at-home mom, and had my brother, who's 4 years older than I am, and then we eventually had a younger brother who was 11 years younger than me. He was an afterthought we decided maybe it was a New Year's Eve celebration that they had. We used to kid her about that. And anyhow, so we were a family of three kids and my mom and dad. And eventually, I worked in Edmonton, a couple of places, an accountant's office and a business office. And then eventually, a good friend of mine, Margaret McWilliam, she was a doctor and working at a Pinoca Mental Hospital, and she was doing a research job, just starting it. And so she asked if I would go and be her secretary, and it would last for a couple of years. And so anyhow, I did, and I moved down to Pinoca, my mom and dad's old stomping grounds. And it was great. We traveled all around Alberta, and it was for people that had had syphilis and were treated, and they were doing a follow-up as to what they were doing now, years later. And we traveled all around Alberta and did very well. So that was a great experience.
And do you remember any of the results that she got of that study?
Oh, yes. It was very worthwhile.
Oh.
Very worthwhile, yeah. I'm trying to think of what they did, the treatment. And anyhow, gosh, this slipped my mind. That's what I'm doing these days, is my mind slipping. And so then what I did, I knew Lloyd, my husband. His aunt lived on the next farm from my aunt's out at Manola, around the Barhead district. And we used to joke and say, I probably opened the gate and let him go on down to his relative's place when we were both all visiting. And
so you went to school in St. Albert? Or
I did. Yeah. No, I went in school in Calder School in Edmonton.
Oh.
Yeah. And McDougall Commercial School in the high school in Edmonton. In the summertime, I used to ride my bike down Kingsway. Oh. And unless it was raining, I always listened to the weather forecast. And so that worked out very good, that high school. And while I was there, I applied for a job in the summertime at the Campbell Indian Hospital. And I remember the matrons interviewing myself and my girlfriend, who was a year older than I was, to get the summer job. And she said, well, you are 16, aren't you? And Gloria said, oh, yes. But I wasn't. I was only 15. But anyhow, we got the job, and that was a great experience because it was patients that had tuberculosis. And my mom thought for sure I was going to contract tuberculosis while I worked there. But it was great because it was on the women's ward. Mm-hmm. And then there was about four or five cribs with little kids in it, and they never got on the floor because it was not thing. You had to rest. That was the thing, and the girls never got out of bed. And there must have been about 18 in a big. It was a big classroom originally, and so that was good. And I liked looking after those little kids. And one time, one little guy. He messed his bed and his pants and his diaper and so forth. So I took him out and was taking him to the bathtub so I could bath him. And the matron came with some honored guests and said, what are you doing? What are you doing? She didn't like me so seeing this. They didn't like seeing this bed, but so such a mess. And so I said, well, I thought I should give the little guy a bath first before anything. Oh, well, yes. But she was upset to think that the honored guests would see this mess there. And so that was a great experience. And then I went back at Christmas time, and I worked at the men's ward. And that was experience because there were DVA, a lot of men were DVA patients, and they would sneak out at night. Yeah, and things like that. And I remember two or three got together, and another staff member, they dumped her in the laundry bag and tied it off. And she was, they were so bored because all they had was bed rest. And then there was an Indian chief who had a private room, and he would, beside the bed, he would just thump like this, and and he'd thump his bed and do this, and chant away, and that was kind of fascinating. He was a great man, and he was an elderly man, too. And so that was my experience.
Did you have any conversations about them being away from home for years?
Oh, yes. They didn't like to talk about it.
Oh.
Because they missed it so much.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, they missed home very, very much. But they found out who had tuberculosis, and they had to take them out to treatment. And so that was sad. Yeah. And, you know, being continually in bed was pretty hard.
So at school is where you learned your secretarial skills?
Yeah, in high school.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I did.
Mm.
Yeah.
So then you met Lloyd. And
yeah, but he I guess Mum used to invite him over once in a while. He was going to university, and she'd invite him over for Sunday dinner because she thought he wasn't eating properly. He lived in a boarding house right next to the tuck shop at the university. And so he would come and have Sunday dinner with us once in a while. So I knew of him. And then one time he phoned and asked if I'd, I guess he phoned. We didn't get a telephone in our house till just the end of the war. And anyhow, so we went out together a couple of times and off and on.
Mm.
But and then he invited me back to the boarding house where he was. And at 8 o'clock, I think it was, everything stopped. The boys came down from their rooms from studying and so forth, and we all had tea. And Lloyd asked me to come over that one evening. And the fellows, well, how much are you earning? And I was, they were so more interested in how much I was earning than anything else, I'm telling you. They were starving, I think, all these university students.
Yeah.
And so that was it. Lived with the Fowlers in their house, just block off the hospital.
So at that time, the war would have been going on, and there were...
No, that would be in the 40s. That'd be off.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you remember when the war was declared or any of the action activities?
Yeah. My mum and my brother Ray and I had gone down to visit mum's brother, Uncle Ernie, who lived in California, and we were on the way home just at the end of August, and it was imminent that war was going to be declared. And everybody on the train coming back from California, they were all anxious because they knew that was going to happen, thought it was going to happen, and that was a sad time. Yeah. And
so you lived not very far from the Blatchford Field,
Blatchford Field?
Yeah.
Yes, the airport.
Yeah.
Yes, we were just a half mile from it or less.
Mm.
In fact, Blatchford, two pilots came from north, and they landed short of the airport. I think they ran out of gas, and they were coming down from the north. And they landed in the field between ourselves and the airport. And Mum ran out, and they were fine. And she got written up in the Edmonton Journal.
Oh.
And she said they made her sound like a silly old woman. She was disappointed in them because my mother was a nurse and made sure they were fine.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, that's right.
And is that where the convoys went up to the Arctic to build the trail, to the, build the roads?
The Alaska Highway?
Yeah.
It was right next door to that.
Yeah.
That happened then, yeah.
Do you remember the convoys?
Not really, mm-hmm. No. I don't remember the convoys. They were here and gone before I came mm-hmm. here, yeah, to build the Alaska Highway.
Where did you get married?
In Edmonton. I was baptized in the United Church, but I was confirmed in the Anglican Church. And we were married in an Anglican church, the Church of the Good Shepherd in Calder.
Mm. Uh-huh. And you moved up here right away?
Yes, yeah. And mm. I moved to the basement of the Fowler Block. Wasn't much of a place, but it was then it was modern because it hadn't been built too long. And we were in the basement. And
what was Athabasca like when you first came here?
Well, you stepped off the sidewalk and it was usually mud if it was raining and so forth. No paved roads at those uh-huh. days, yeah, very much so. And
what year was that?
19, what was the year I was married? Oh, gosh.
53?
Yeah. Gee, I've forgotten that. That'll come to me in a minute.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was quite a small town in those days. And it was the old highway, the one going through the Collinson. Yeah, it was the old highway that goes through all the villages mm-hmm. down that way, Winook and so forth. And the ski jump was right where the Burger Bar is now.
Oh.
And that was quite the something, because they had competitions there.
Oh.
Yeah, very high-caliber competitions. And, yeah, that's right, when I first came.
What was the social life like?
Oh.
What did you do for entertainment?
Well, I belonged to the women's group in the church. And what else did I do? Oh, I don't know. After a few years, I started working for Lloyd at the office, and he had some very good secretaries over the years, and yeah.
So he started his practice here.
Yes. And, yeah, he practiced first in Clyde under Mr. Davies. Yeah, he articled and finished off that way on there, and then they opened the office here, and it was in the old Olson building.
The Olson building?
Olson
Which
building.
Which one? Where is that?
The two-story one across from the place where you rent movies.
Oh, yeah.
In that building, there was two dentists was on one side and Lloyd was in the other.
Oh.
And they lived in the building, the dentist did.
Oh.
Yeah. And, yeah, you remember these things all of a sudden.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, so you had, your son's name?
Chris.
Chris first?
Yeah, yeah, and...
In the hospital here?
Yeah, and I was, didn't seem to get pregnant. I used to take my temperature in every morning. Like the Dr. Brown suggests I do, to see when I was susceptible to getting pregnant. And I kept track of it all, but I couldn't see with a variation. But she said, oh, yes, there it is, right there. And so it was quite a while before I did get pregnant. And then I had Chris, and then... and we'd already put our name in for adoption.
Oh.
Yes, that's right. And so, anyhow, we got approved. And next thing I know, we had Chris. And then the next thing I know, we got a call from the welfare officer saying they had a little baby girl for us. And I said, my gosh, I wonder if I'm pregnant. And as it happens, I was. And so we had those three kids, bang, bang, bang. Yeah. One adopted, one and two natural. Yeah.
So you had your babies in the hospital here with Dr. Brown?
Yeah. Both Chris and Kim. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's right. And Esther Page, she was in the room with me when we both had our sons. Mm-hmm. And what else? No, it was a pretty good town. I was very pleased to be able to be here.
So then you bought a house?
Yeah, over there by the Roman Catholic Church. Uh-huh. Yeah, and the owner was a druggist here, and he was retiring and going down east where was originally his home, and he had a daughter, and so they moved out and we moved in, and it worked out just fine.
Mm. They're close to the elementary school.
Yeah, but then it only had two bedrooms, but we put there was an upstairs. And we finished up the upstairs, so we had two bedrooms up there, too.
Mm.
Yeah. So it was certainly big enough for us.
Who was the contractor?
Oh, gosh.
Richards?
Oh, yeah, Richards. Richards did. Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. I can't think of anything else there. It was a nice home, very nice home.
So I imagine you attended lots of social events at the old community center.
Oh, yes. And before it was even finished, it was just downstairs. And then they finished the upstairs later on. Oh. After a couple of years, they did.
That was a big community effort, I think.
Oh, yes, yeah. Oh. Yeah, very much so.
Do you remember any of those big events?
Well, we used to have the New Year's Eve dance there. Yeah, and people's weddings would be there, too.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was well used, very well used. Yeah, it's gone.
So when did you move up to the hill, the school hill? The
high school hill here?
Still, yeah.
1970, late 70s. Yeah, late 70s.
So the school was up here?
Yes.
Not very much else?
No. No, Pleasant Valley was built later. And it was just three streets.
Mm. And lots of trees?
Yes, lots of trees. Yeah.
And the RCMP?
Yes, they were the first avenue as you came up the hill, yeah. And they had a sports day across in the grounds behind me to the south.
Mm-hmm.
We had different booths and that sort of thing in the summertime and had a special weekend. Mm-hmm. That was good, yeah.
I have a long list of the organizations and that you were involved with,
like
the Chamber of Commerce.
Oh yes, yeah.
You were one of the charter members, right?
Yes, I was. Yeah.
Now, what do you remember? What year that was?
Oh gosh, sakes. I've got it written down somewhere.
How did it come about? Just,
well, my husband, he and we both joined at the same time. Yeah. Mm. I can't remember all these things. Oh, yes, I guess there was quite a few. Women's Auxiliary, Hospital Auxiliary. A group of the women would go and embroider in Athabasca Hospital, I think, auxiliary on the on the linens, like the pillowcases and that sort of thing, because everything had to be marked, and that's before you had special marking pens.
So it was all done by hand?
Yeah, all done by hand, yeah. There was a group of ladies that went to the hospital and did that. Yeah.
That's when Mrs. Parr, Beatrice Parr, was the matron.
Matron. And Mrs. Perlart, she was a from Collington. She belonged to that, and she and Mrs. Bann would come from Collington and help us do the stitching.
Gosh, big job.
And Mrs. Parr always had lots of stuff ready for us to do. And what else did I belong to?
In the school, you were quite active in the school when your kids were going to school.
Oh, yeah. Yes, and I listened to children read at the school, at the elementary school. And that was that was very good, doing that.
And the university, Athabasca University Ethics Committee.
Oh, yes, I was on that. That's where people would do research, and it had to be approved and so forth. And they'd apply, and we'd see whether it was worthwhile for them to get a grant to do that. Yeah, that's right.
The Community Justice?
Oh, Justice Committee, yes. Yeah, I belonged to that for a good many years. We just quit about 3 years ago, two, 3 years ago, because we weren't getting any more cases.
Oh.
We would get them through the Justice Committee and the court system, and we'd listen to them, and then we thought it was worthwhile for we to take them and assess them different things to do, and that was their penalty, and they had to get it done and so forth, and that was very worthwhile, very worthwhile. That way they didn't get a court record, and that saved a lot of young men. I think maybe once or twice we had girls, but it was mostly young boys.
Oh.
Yeah, that was very worthwhile.
So, Eileen, when we were talking about when you found out to your surprise that the adoption papers, or the adoption that you applied for, came through, and they called and said that you had a baby girl. Do you want to carry on and talk about that whole process?
We understood when we put our name in that it would take at least 2 years before we ever heard from them. However, it was much earlier than that, and it was unexpected, I guess. And they said they had a little baby girl for me, and I had been at a case as a court reporter where that was to do with a child, and I said, well, who are you talking about? And they said, well, you put your name in for adoption. And I said, yes, but that wasn't supposed to come to until about another 2 years, because they weren't available. Well, we have one available for you now. And I said, okay. So they said that she was born about 6 weeks before, and we could go into the city and see her and make up our mind as we wanted to adopt her. Well, okay. And so we did that. We went to the city and we met the lady that was looking after the little girl previous to her being adopted. And I remember her saying, the lady there saying, you know, you can say no. You don't always have to say yes. And when we realized it was for us they were talking about it, my goodness, Lloyd and I really had to stop and think, do we really want to do this? Well, yes, we did. So anyhow, I think we were able to take her home with us. She was there, I think. And so anyhow, we did that. And we were very surprised. and managed to find a spot for her in the carriage, because the crib was being used by my son, who was a little boy, and we just continued on through there.
How old was Chris at that time, your son?
He was born in 19... was he born in 19... Oh, gosh. I've got to think now. He must have been... I have to stop and think about that.
But he was still in a crib.
Yes, he was. I'm trying to think if I have it written down here or not.
Oh, well.
No, I don't think I have it there. And so, anyhow, he was a little boy. And he was naturally born off at the old hospital in Athabasca. And so we decided, yes, we'd go along for this and be just fine. Little did I know that I was probably pregnant at the time. Anyhow, it all turned out that I had one already, and then I adopted one, and then I delivered one. Oh, and I had a miscarriage in between all that. And so I was a very on-again, off-again person. Anyhow, we had three children, and that's what kept us going for the next umpteen years. Yeah.
So it was Chris, and then the new baby, Lynn, and then Kim.
Yes.
Yeah. Gosh.
All the time, space of a year and a half or something.
So, and you mentioned earlier that when they were still using the cage across the river when you came here.
Yes. I never went on it, but Mrs. Donahue, who taught across the river, went across there every day. And it wasn't really in use when I came here in 53. Mm. But she had used it continually to teach school across the river. And it was still there when I came.
Now the bridge, you were at the opening of the new bridge.
Oh, right? Yes, that's right, yeah. Yeah. And, they used to have the little ferry that went across from the south to the north of the river. Yeah. Yeah.
Must have been an exciting occasion when they opened the new bridge.
Oh, yes, it was. All the fanfare and the bands playing and all that sort of thing.
Politicians?
Yeah, and politicians, yes, definitely politicians there.
Mm-hmm. Who was representing Athabasca at that time?
Mr. Loisel. Oh. Yeah, he was a provincial representative. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right.
That was social credit.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then, excuse me, you carried on, besides your three kids, you carried on working at the office with Lloyd?
No, I wasn't working with Lloyd at that time. I quit.
Oh.
Yes, I did. I wasn't teaching when, I wasn't working at the office. Mm. Not until after the kids were a bit older and I got a babysitter. Mm. And then they went to school, and that worked out fine, too. I'd always be home when they got home from school.
And you were always very involved in all their sports, I remember.
Oh, yes, yeah. Oh, yeah, baseball and soccer and hockey, yeah.
Were you involved in sports when you were a kid, or just...?
Regular things in school. J. Percy Page, who was the principal of my high school, he was the one that took the Edmonton grads all over the world.
Yeah.
They were champions, yeah. And he was the principal of a high school that I was at. And his son-in-law used to teach us basketball at the school, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was he like?
Mr. Page?
Yeah.
Very proper, very, very proper person. Manners were very important to him, and as a result, so it was to us at school. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember any legal cases that you that Lloyd was involved in? That
no, he didn't like being a legal cases. Oh. There was someone else that would do that or oh. come to town and do that. Yeah. No, he wasn't. No.
So he did mostly
just
real estate. And,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Divorces. And land deals and things like that.
Mm-hmm. So then your kids grew up and moved away, and you got involved in every service club in town, I think. Meals on Wheels?
Yes, Meals on Wheels. And I was the community representative in the... with the Athabasca University on a research project, and that was interesting. And then what else did I do? Oh my goodness, I can't think right now.
Mission?
Oh yeah, Good Samaritan Mission. I've been going out there for a number of years. We used to bag sugar and coffee and things like that, but now they do that on other days in the warehouse, and I just go out there now to help them when they're serving lunch, because they always serve lunch to the people that come to the mission to pick up their packages, and I enjoy just doing that too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's just once a month now. It used to be once a week, but then the government cut them back, and so now it's just once a month, so it's not very demanding anymore.
Were you there right from the beginning?
I don't think so.
Oh.
I think they had been going for a little while. Yeah. Yeah, I don't remember when I started. Pauline Kramer used to come with me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But that was very worthwhile.
So... you've seen a lot of changes since 1953.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. I remember getting out of the car and stepping in mud because the roads weren't paved. And it, mind you, the water always headed down to the river, so it didn't stay messy very long. And so that was a blessing. But, yeah. Oh, yeah, there's been lots of changes. And for the good, and for the good. And we've had good representatives, especially in the early days, on the town council. Tony Schinkinger was an excellent mayor and was very good. And Lloyd was on the town council once and really enjoyed that. And, it's been a good town to live in. It's the best place in the whole world. To me,
yeah,
Athabasca.
Great place to raise kids.
Oh, yes, exactly. My kids all took part in various things, and two of them still live here. Mm-hmm. And the one, Lynn, who was about so-called adopted, she lives out in Vancouver, and she's in the top 10% of the realtors in her company.
Wow.
Yeah, and she's been that for... 9-10 years, oh, at least that, 10-12 years now.
Wow.
Yeah, so she's very active. And yeah, she says she's going to stick with it another 3 years and then she might retire.
Ah. It's hard to, it's amazing to think of kids retiring.
Oh, that's right. Both Kim and Chris are retired.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they find things to do, definitely find things to do. Yeah.
Take after their mother.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess we can wrap it up, I guess, unless there's something that you'd like to add that we haven't covered yet.
Let me think. I've got some stuff. I belong to the Community Justice Committee for teenage boys and girls, and we used to, instead of them going to court, they came to us, and that way they didn't get a court record, but we would assess some penalties that they had to do. I remember one had to clean all the windows around the arena, mm-hmm. and different things like that. They had to do things like that, which were different, and then they wouldn't get a court record. Mm. And I think that was an excellent thing for young people.
You've been a member of the United Church forever.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Since you came.
Yeah, and I was brought up Anglican and married in the Anglican Church. Oh, yes, it's all the same God. did that. And doing just fine, yeah. Mm-hmm. I keep busy and still today.
Yes.
And enjoy it, enjoy it, yeah.
We're lucky that we can do it.
Yes, I'm fortunate that I have a dandy cane that I get along with, mm-hmm. and it's just marvelous.
Lots of family around to give you a hand.
Oh, yes, yeah, and they'll come and pick me up if I'm going into City or Edmonton or St. Albert and that sort of thing. So I'm never stuck anywhere. Yeah, and I enjoy going over Pleasant Valley Lodge for exercises on Monday mornings.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm. And my grandson teaches us.
Yeah.
So that I see my grandson at those. And,
Okay, well, I guess we'll finish it off then. And thank you very much for taking time to do this.
Oh.
It's a great contribution.
Oh, you're welcome.